The following program has been furnished and paid by Nathan P. Ross, CPA, and KSEV is not responsible for its content or the products or services offered.
Welcome to the Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, a show that helps you learn how planners can generate significantly more wealth now. Nathan will answer your questions about business or personal finance, or how to increase current cash flows and generate retirement savings to make sure you're on the right path, and so much more. Whatever your financial goal, Nathan can get you there faster. And now, here's your host, Nathan Ross.
Welcome to this week's Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA. We're glad you could join us today. And as usual, we're going to be talking real estate, retirement plans, private partnerships involving real estate, multifamily syndications, and perhaps some zero tax math strategies sprinkled in. And just because you hear a topic discussed and think you understand it and think it might be good for your situation, please check with your advisors first, your existing advisors, to make sure that you understood and that, in fact, the content applies. And for those of you that may not have advisors that consult in those areas, happy to have you consider working with us. If you want to go to our website at beaplannershow.com, that's beaplannershow.com, feel free to fill out at least step one of our intake forms. It's client profile, and if you'll give us that information, then we can have a phone call with you, which you can also schedule from that same website, and we'll be happy to tell you how or if we can sync up with your goals and objectives in terms of helping you understand that particular area of content. And if you have no other inclination to connect with us other than perhaps a Roth conversion. As you know, I speak about Roth conversions almost every show in some form or fashion, because we are staring a tax train down. It's coming down the tracks. And for those of you that may have been asleep at the wheel here the last few years, you may want to take a look at the annual deficit and the cumulative deficit. Look at how much we're borrowing now, how much interest we pay, and we'll talk about that here momentarily, and then let's talk about what you might do to rearrange your income streams now and as you approach retirement to sidestep a huge calamity. And hopefully we can find another or three GDP trees. If we could grow some more GDP, however we get there, perhaps we would collect enough off the existing taxes that are imposed to navigate through the oncoming calamity. But it is oncoming, and if you don't understand that, perhaps after we discuss some of the current numbers off of the U.S. debt clock, which you can find at usdebtclock.org, you'll understand why the concern. And it's not just me. If you want to read some of the national personalities, you can look to David McKnight. He's the author of the book, The Power of Zero. He's also the author of Look Before You LERP, which LERP stands for Life Insurance Retirement Plan, which is one strategy that we use to sidestep the taxes that are coming. And when I talk about the taxes that are coming, you may be thinking, well, I'm going to be retired, and I won't have to worry about the high taxes that you're talking about each week, Nathan. And my response would be, well, do you have any required minimum distributions that are going to be occurring? And have you considered whether you will be paying tax on your Social Security or not? Meaning we do have a choice. If we can structure our income streams in a certain fashion, we can avoid tax on Social Security altogether if you understand the rules and know how to adjust. Again, if you can adjust the income streams, how to do so. And with respect to what's generating your income streams and the timing. And those are two things that we work with as we advise investors. Most of our investor clients are invested in real estate, private partnership, multifamily syndications in most cases. And that's a great tax vehicle where maybe you don't get to the zero tax rate every year, but you could get there in many years and then every once in a while have a cash out from a sale that would involve utilizing some of your loss carry forwards to offset those gains. And so we still try to get your tax rate down to zero or as close to zero as your fact pattern will dictate. But one of the best tools in our toolkit is the Roth conversion, and I mentioned that earlier. If you have money in pre-tax retirement funds, you need to wake up, smell the coffee, understand the math, understand the benefits of collaterally moving those funds into vehicles that we can invest in multifamily real estate where we have tax attributes and tax variables that very much sync up with the notion of holding your tax to zero as you move into retirement, or if you're already in retirement, as you move towards your life expectancy, I guess would be a diplomatic way of talking about passing. And for those of you that may not be aware, the life expectancy for you, if you're female, is, and this is according to the IRS life expectancy tables, is 87 to 88. Us males are 85 to 86. And that's a long time to be paying your bills if you don't have significant assets that are generating cash flows. Hopefully, cash flows that are not taxable. And you may say, well, gee, that would be nice. How do we get there? Well, that's why we need to learn more about you and see how your financial picture is currently arranged and see what we can do to take advantage of the Roth rules, perhaps the index universal life rules, or some other cash value insurance possibility. We like index universal life because it achieves multiple goals and objectives. For any of you that may have had a parent or other party in assisted living in the recent past, as I have, you'll be pleased to learn that with an index universal life policy that you typically can add a chronic illness or a long-term health care rider for little or no charge. If you're young enough, typically no charge. And what that will allow you to do is utilize the death benefit of that policy well before you pass to cover assisted living. And I can just tell you, assisted living, I don't care where you're at in the country. It's worse in other parts of the country, but here in the Houston area where I sit today, you're looking at, I don't know, approximately 7,500 $7,500 to $8,000 a month. And I know this firsthand because I just went through it with my mother, who passed at age 85. And it was not a shock. I've known what long-term health care coverage has done in the past. You know, it was when I remember it first came across on some of my clients' tax returns back in my 20s and 30s, in which case I never really thought about, well, gee, that'll be me someday. Now I'm there. And I realized that one of the best ways to achieve the financial freedom of being able to self-insure is a rider on an index universal life policy. And, you know, when I look at the alternative of paying life insurance or long-term health care insurance premiums that I may or may not use, it's like maybe a 50% chance, I believe, still, that all married couples will have at least one of the spouses put into assisted living at some point, a long-term health care scenario. And for you to be able to tap that cash value in that index universal life policy is a very welcome feature at that point, versus paying, $12,500 to maybe as much as $20,000 a year, depending on your health and your age, et cetera, for a straight long-term health care policy. To be able to add that to an existing cash value policy is a nice feature. So anyway, let's do this. Let's go ahead and take our first break, and we will circle back momentarily with more of this week's Be a Planner show with Nathan Ross, CPA.
People always coming up to me and asking, what's your secret? With all you do, your attitude just seems to be so good. How do you keep it? Well, I'm not the Dalai Lama, but I'll try to offer up a few words of advice. You better get to living, giving. Don't forget to throw in a little more.
BeAPlanner.com wants to ask you, when's the last time your tax pro called with a way to save you taxes? Seriously, do you want to work with a planner or a reporter? A planner knows which tax code sections are the best wealth accumulation tools. Less tax, more profit. Learn more at BeAPlanner.com. The Be A Planner Show with Nathan Ross.
Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-581-0195. 713-581-0195. Or you can send an email to Nathan@npross.com. Nathan@npross.com.
Have you recently joined a real estate mentor program? BeAPlanner.com shows how real estate investments combined with proactive tax planning can generate significant wealth. However, syndication terms for private real estate partnerships are complicated. They help you assess the benefits of ownership from A acquisition to E exit. A planner wants to know what they are signing up for. BeAPlanner.com with CPA Nathan Ross. BeAPlanner.com.
Like the song, Bobby McGee, I'm just longing to be free. Take me away, I want to be. Big dreams and fake dreams. And there are many just like me.
with big dreams and faded tears.
Okay, welcome back with more of this week's Be a Planner show with Nathan Ross, CPA, and we're glad you could join us once again. We've been discussing the concept of using cash value life insurance to give you a better option, we feel, in many cases, not all cases, to cover your either chronic illness or long-term health care needs as you get, let's say, more elderly would be the way to describe it. But in any event, I want to point out that, you know, here on our show, we do not render legal, accounting, or other financial professional advice, and I would include in that tax advice. We talk about tax strategies, but it's within the context. It's a high level. It's the forest view, quote unquote, in most cases. And unless you're already a client and we have some idea of your tax reporting posture, we can't be specific enough to provide you anything that's a definite black and white yes or no. We can tell you what the general rules are. As with most tax code provisions, the answer to whatever question you want to ask me, if I don't have your details, is maybe. Not yes or no, but maybe, because most issues under the tax code have multiple potential outcomes depending on the fact pattern. And I always like to use the example of just to show you how common it is to have different outcomes when it seemingly is the same issue, is we do a lot of work with, as I mentioned, real estate private partnership projects in terms of advising clients and syndicators. We've got a few syndicators we've advised in the past. And in any event, if you have a partnership of 100 partners, let's say, that are invested in the same property, there could literally be 100 different numbers that flow through net on a partner's, you know, from the K-1 that you're given. And you could even have, of that 100 partners, let's say you got 30 of them that own the same exact percentage of ownership of the partnership. The amounts that actually flow through to your bottom line on your 1040, there could be 30 different net numbers that come to the bottom, depending on your own facts and circumstances. And without getting into all the detail, I would suggest to you that that's probably about the same answer, you know, 30 different results that you could come to looking at other tax issues. Maybe not every tax issue, certainly. There are a few things, black and white, but even the, you've heard, and this isn't out of the Internal Revenue Code, but it's been mentioned by more than a few prognosticators over the years, is there's nothing certain in life except death and taxes. I would tell you death is really the only one that's certain, because I can tell you right now, we have clients that have structured their financial affairs to yield zero tax. And it's not because they receive zero income, it's because they receive the right type of income, or in the case of real estate, they receive cash flow. There's a difference between cash flow and taxable income. And even if it would otherwise be taxable, there's a level we refer to as provisional income that avoids you actually owing tax. And, you know, I'm sure some of you are going to say, well, what about the Social Security tax that we have to pay? You don't have to pay tax on Social Security if you structure your affairs correctly. We've already mentioned the Roth, and we've mentioned the Index Universal Life. Those are two tools that, as long as your provisional income, well, in the case of the Roth, if your provisional income does not exceed the amount specified for single or married filing joint, you escape the taxation on up to, what do we get taxed on with our Social Security? I don't see a show of hands here because we're on the radio, but if I were doing a live event, I would probably have a few people in the room that would know that the answer is 85%, or up to 85%, to be more correct. So if you're making $15,000 a year, as an example, you would pay zero tax on the Social Security. If you're making $1 million, and I don't know where the break is this year, I've forgotten, but our computer systems handle that. Thankfully, that's one thing I don't have to spend a wrinkle in my brain on. I can save it for names and other things that I have a hard time keeping up with. But in any event, if you're making, I can just say carefully, if you're making $100,000 a year, as an example, you're going to pay tax on 85% of your Social Security. The other thing that the Roth escapes and the distributions or loans taken from a properly structured Index Universal Life policy is those items do not affect the IRMA premium that you may be required to pay back to Medicare. And so, you know, when I say that I have clients that don't pay tax, that's what I'm referring to. It's not that they don't have general tax filing obligation that all U.S. citizens have. And I say general, you know, again, there are certain types of income that are exempt, and we strive to maximize those. In the real estate business, it's pretty much, at least in the multifamily business, you can count on, in most cases, several years to go by. In fact, probably all the way to the exit of that project before you would actually have a taxable distribution. Not always, but in most cases, you get write-offs in the interim years, and then finally at the end, if you're successful, you've got a gain. And of course, you may have a gain without being successful, I guess I should say, if your basis has gone down, if you were able to utilize any of the losses, which you might be because you may have had other projects that sold. And remember, in the passive activity loss rule game, let's call it, have the ability, the loss carry forwards are generally fungible in most cases, meaning that you can offset a gain on project C with a loss that you're carrying forward on project A or B. So it becomes a scenario where we're trying to time losses with gains or vice versa. And, you know, if you're in a position where you don't have that ability, I'm going to be a little bit sympathetic to you, but I'll tell you, if you owe tax on a real estate private partnership, normally, at least in the multifamily arena, that means that you did, and I'm saying true tax, like you put a dollar in and you got a dollar 50 out at some point, I'm going to say, hey, you did pretty good. It could be worse, but in any event, we like to try to time things so that there is no taxable effect as you move through life. And then depending on who's president between now and the time that you pass, you may or may not owe, or your heirs may not owe any tax upon receiving the estate value. And, you know, that's been something that even right now is in the current dialogue. It's tax on unrealized gains. It's a clever name. They don't say it's the, if you really wanted to get people's attention, you'd say it's the tax you're going to pay before you sell something and have the cash flow to pay the tax. They're actually talking about doing it real time annually on your appreciated assets. They're not waiting till you pass. That will still happen, I'm sure. I can't imagine they're going to exempt that. But currently, under current law, you have the ability when you get or when you pass to have your heirs receive a step up in basis. And I know you've probably heard references to this in the recent past, especially since Ms. Harris, one of the two presidential nominees, mentioned her tax plan. I wish it was a concept instead of being a plan. You can rest assured they will move forward with that, assuming they can win the House. I don't think without the House to propose it and the Senate to agree, which, you know, at the moment, from what I can gather by watching the news, the Senate looks like it's going to be Republican. Let's hope. Although just because it's Republican anymore, it's hard to say that we're going to see things occur the way we might otherwise. You know, the Republicans have been just as culpable in many cases for the mess we're in tax-wise and deficit-wise. And I'm just curious, you know, when I talk to clients and prospects, what they think the tax rate should be. And, you know, I don't think I've had a client ever mention that it should be higher. I'm curious. If you want to let me know, you can just send me a one-word text, higher or lower. Send it to 713-581-0195. And by the end of the show here in 25 minutes, I'll tell you how that vote is trending, but I have yet to meet the client or prospect or Democrat for that matter, aside from the ones that are, you know, billionaire types. And I think some of them are, I always wonder, well, if you think your tax share is too low, why don't you send more money in? The IRS will gladly receive any tax dollars that you want to throw onto the stack. They don't care if you think you owe it or not. They're happy to let you pay more. And so don't hold back. Let's work on that deficit. And that's, therein lies the problem. We always raise significantly more money, most cases, when taxes are cut. You can go back to the 86 Tax Reform Act to see this in action. And I only mention that because that's when I was, I'd started out several years earlier in the CPA business. And, you know, Reagan, in conjunction with reaching across the aisle to Tip O'Neill, and I'm not sure, I don't think Newt Gingrich was involved yet. Maybe, perhaps, it's been a long time ago, and I can't remember who the GOP's representative in that fight was, but Tip O'Neill and Reagan were basically the reason they reached agreement and cut tax rates. Of course, they flattened the tax code, took out a lot of our deductions. But bottom line is they lowered the rates. They included more income. Yes, I understand for you tax pros out there. But the reality is they raised significantly more revenues, just like the Trump 2017 Tax Cuts and Jobs Act did. But did the money get spent to pay down the debt? No. And if you send extra dollars in this year or any year than what you really owe, do you think it would go to pay down the debt? No. Why? Because Congress spends every nickel they collect and then some. Look at the CBO annual, the 10-year report. They issue a 10-year forecast every year. They've already updated this one twice due to some of the inflationary provisions. And they project average deficits for the 10-year period ending 2034, that's the fiscal period, September 30th each year, they project average deficits of $2.1 trillion. I'm going to say it again. For the next 10 years, $2.1 trillion. And beyond that, God only knows how much that's going to be, okay? And that's assuming current, you know, economic assumptions. The interest on the debt, by the way, for the fiscal period ended September 30th, just passed, is over $1 trillion now for the first time in our country's history. It's insane. And, you know, you think about the position that it ranks in our federal budget, annual expenditures, the component that it is, and it is now third behind Medicare and Medicaid together, combined, and then second spot is Social Security. Now it's interest on the debt, $1.1 trillion, effectively. And defense is now behind interest. But defense was in the $900 billion range. And at the end of the 10-year period that's in the current Congressional Budget Office forecast that I alluded to, interest will move into the number one spot sometime before the end of that 10-year period. It's tragic. And the deficit, of course, will be, if you add another 10 years at $2.1 trillion, you're looking at a $55 trillion amount, precluding any common sense that might come to the surface sooner, where we start paying down the debt. But, you know, I wouldn't hold your breath. I think the only thing that may happen that will cause people to come to grips sooner, and I say people, meaning Congress, is the fact that we have come very close to spending the entirety of the portion of the budget that we like to argue about every year before it gets select which components we're going to pay. It's called the discretionary component, and there will be no more arguing here in about 4 or 5 more years. 2028 to 2029, we will have spent the entirety of the discretionary component of the federal budget, and it's going to be catastrophic, likely a depression style period in our country's lifetime, far worse than 1929, and it will involve the entire world because we are the world's most significant economy. Let's do this. We're right on top of our second break, our final break, and we'll go ahead and take that and circle back momentarily with more of this week's Be a Planner show with Nathan Ross, CPA.
Did you know 76% of Americans are concerned they won't have a secure retirement? BeAPlanner.com shows how private real estate partnerships can increase current cash flow and retirement savings. There are three options to control your 401 and IRAs, but only one will double your retirement lifestyle. beaplanner.com for the Be A Planner Show with CPA Nathan Ross.
Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-581-0195, 713-581-0195, or you can send an email to nathan@npross.com, nathan@npross.com.
Have you recently joined a real estate mentor program? BeAPlanner.com shows how real estate investments combined with proactive tax planning can generate significant wealth. However, syndication terms for private real estate partnerships are complicated. They help you assess the benefits of ownership from A acquisition to E exit. A planner wants to know what they are signing up for. BeAPlanner.com with CPA Nathan Ross. BeAPlanner.com.
Is it easy? No, it ain't. Can I fix it? No, I can't. I sure ain't gonna take it lying down. Will I make it? Maybe so. Will I give up? Oh, no. I'll be fighting till I'm 6 feet underground. I'm gonna woman up and take it like a man. I'm gonna buckle up, be tough enough to take control and make the
okay, welcome back to the final segment of this week's Be A Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA. And while we were on the break, I pulled up, first of all, let me just summarize for somebody that may have just joined. It is getting close to lunch, right? So if you just got in your car and you've left your radio dial on KSEV, here on Be A Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, we've been talking about a common refrain on this show, at least. We talk about the federal debt and the impact on you personally, and mentioned several options that you might consider to both protect your investment capital and at the same time structure your income stream so that you can sidestep or avoid the tax train that's barreling down the tracks. And I've got the book that really gives you a great outline and helps you begin to understand just how serious this is. It's by David McKnight, best-selling New York Times author, and the book was as well. It's called The Power of Zero, and it explains the basics of getting to zero on your taxable income as you get into retirement. And I'll just say that there are some deal breakers. I'll mention if you have some type of pension payment, it's not an IRA. It doesn't have required minimum distributions like an IRA does. It has a fixed monthly payment. And if that's over $2,000 or $3,000, well, then you will not get to zero. But there's things you can do to keep from going on up much past, in that case, in that example, $3,000 or $4,000 a month. You can definitely stay within the, I believe, if you're married filing joint, 12 or maybe 18% brackets. But for those that have the ability to take their cash flow or their income through the private real estate partnership arena, specifically multifamily. We like multifamily. We like hard assets that inflationary times tend to keep up with the changes. So if you've got inflation, you've got rent will be going up, collateral to the rates, the inflation, the interest rates, the Fed funds rates, et cetera. And so you tend not to lose as much value as if you have assets sitting in fixed type options or cash, worse yet. And so the ability for real estate to not only keep up with inflation, but at the same time, the benefit of investing in private partnerships, private companies, gives you the ability to convert your pre-tax funds. If you're investing with your IRAs or 401ks, it's kind of the area we focus on. And for those of you younger folks that don't think you can use your 401 money, I'll just tell you, if you're married and you live in the great state of Texas, we should all get down on our knees and thank the good Lord. And while you're there, ask for success, if you will, in the upcoming election. We want to stay a red state because of freedoms like I'm explaining right now. Not that I don't think the left would change that, although the left under the Biden, when the Biden era started, you may remember the Build Back Better Act, that even though it was a tax act, it would have restricted. It would have made investing with your IRA in many of the real estate private partnerships we work with, it would have prevented you from doing so, which is crazy. So it would drive your market or your investment capital back into the stock market, which I'm sure was a give back to some wealthy Wall Street, I'm not going to say entrepreneurs, I'm going to say bourgeois, maybe. But in any event, that didn't happen. We can still invest our IRAs, Roth or otherwise. But better yet, we can invest a self-directed 401 trust / plan. It is an employer plan at base. So you need some self-employment income, which there's many ways you can achieve that through a side gig. If you're working for a company currently, W-2, then you would need a side gig activity to qualify. But if you have that side gig, and again, it's not hard, there's tons of options these days, then you've got the ability, if you're married and you live in the great state of Texas, to access your 401 from your current employer. And the ability to invest that in private real estate partnerships and then undertake a Roth conversion gives you the lowest possible tax cost to get into the Roth arena. And I'll just say, for those of you that don't know what a self-directed 401 trust is, and it's the marketing term you may have heard is solo K. A solo K, the name solo K does not appear in the Internal Revenue Code or regs, but the IRS publications do reference solo K as a single employee benefit plan, which that is what it consists of, although if you're married, you and your spouse count as one. But in any event, I don't suggest rolling all your money over necessarily, but I would tell you, if you're not taking advantage of one, the hard asset status of these investments that will keep up with inflation, I would tell you, you need to look at that, because it's not just the hard asset benefit, it's the fact that a private company, when you value the fair market value for purposes of Roth conversion, you're going to get significant discounts for the lack of marketability. You can't just go out and sell your interest like you could your shares in Apple or whatever company in the NASDAQ or New York Stock Exchange you invest in, or mutual funds, you can't go sell it like you can with respect to those highly liquid, marketable assets. That's a good thing in terms of the money you will save on your Roth conversion. And once you've seasoned it, you got a five-year rule to meet, then your distributions later, and as you move through life, are not taxable. We don't care what the tax rate goes up to. 100% of zero is still zero if the rates go up by 100%. And I suspect they'll go up as much as 200%, because that's what it's going to take if we really want to fix the deficit. And if you don't believe me, go grab the power of zero, look at what the CBO 10-year report shows, and then tell me you don't think these rates are going to go up significantly. And if you sit and wait, it will reduce whatever you think you've got retirement money now. When I ask people that question, I always hear a gross number. Never hear the after-tax number. And I'm just telling you, if you got $1 million in your pre-tax, your traditional IRA or 401, you don't have $1 million. You may not have $500,000 when what has to happen mathematically for our country to still spend money the way it spends it, you may have $500,000. And so it significantly impacts you whether you want to recognize it or not, and whether you want to plan now to change your go forward, your future. The math doesn't go away just because you decide you don't want to do it. And I'm going to tell you, do it. Take the bitter medicine, but take it. It's kind of like when I used to give my Weimaraner, one of my most favorite dogs in the past, I'd give him his heartworm pill. He hated that heartworm pill. But if I stuck it inside a piece of hot dog, he gulped it down. And so I'm going to tell you, let the real estate private partnership, multifamily specifically, let that be the hot dog that you stuff the Roth conversion tax in, and you're going to be okay. You're going to look back and realize that that likely will be the tool. It's the easiest tool for you to access. And if you're over 59 and a half, you can do it now. If you're not, you can do it as a what we call a QUADRA, Qualified Domestic Relations Order, that we file with the state district court. You don't have to be getting a divorce. I know many of you probably say, well, a QUADRA, that's what me and my ex-wife had to do, or my ex-husband. When we divorced, the judge split up our respective retirement accounts. And yes, it will happen in that setting, but it also can be done unilaterally, where you and your spouse agree that, hey, we want to invest in this fashion, and we want access to the 401 money at your large employer or wherever you're currently participating. And you will be pleased to learn that you can control those funds. That's why I refer to it as a self-directed 401. And you can direct those funds into these private company investments. And other, you may have other options. I'm just referring to the typical client that we have that's interested in investing in apartments for a lot of the right reasons. But in any event, looking at the U.S. national debt clock real time, and I've mentioned before, you know, the numbers are being calculated real time, looks like a pinball machine. And the current national debt as of this moment is $35,823,000,000, $185,700,000. Well, that one's moving so fast, it's now over $900 million. Or $100,000, I'm sorry, and $122. But it's moving really fast the further across that screen you come to. It's approximately $6 to $8 billion a day, if I'm not mistaken, in terms of what we're adding to the U.S. debt. And for those of you that care, that works out to $271,888 per taxpayer, $106 per citizen. That's man, woman, and child. Think about that. Let that sink in. And now tell me you don't think the tax rates have to go up to start paying some of this debt. The let's see. I was going to point out let's see here. The total, trying to catch that number here. The U.S. total debt, if you look at the unfunded spending that's already queued up, it's already been voted on, it's already been approved either through indexing provisions, you have the annual increase, cost of living, et cetera. The total U.S. debt, and this is according to the assumption set that the U.S. debt clock is using, various economists would say it's much higher, but based on the assumption set they're using, $102 trillion is our total outstanding debt. We don't book that unfunded component on the nation's financial statement, if you will, because they only book the debt that pertains to the current or past budgetary cycles. So we're pulling a fast one there. But we get away with it. Why? Because we are the world's economy in large measure. And what happens to America will happen around the world. And that's why it's going to be such a significant calamity if we don't get a grip on exactly how much spending we're doing and get it under control. So in any event, for you as a citizen, think Roth conversions, think Index Universal Life. These are income streams that won't get slaughtered with a higher tax rate when that occurs. Not if, when that occurs. And if you want to work with us on those strategies, feel free again to go to the BAPlannersShow.com website and fill out at least the first form, step one, schedule a call. And I'll be glad to take a look at your info and tell you if and how we might be able to sync up with your objectives. I want to thank you for listening in. We will return on Sunday with our cybersecurity show, 7 a.m. here on Sunday. And we'll look forward to you tuning in then. Thank you for listening.
Thanks for listening, and join us again next week for another edition of Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA.